Welcome to Built Brave. Driven women sharing their stories to show others what is possible for them. Because we were all born brave. I'm your host, Lo Wentworth, and this is Built Brave. Are you ready? Hello, everyone. Have you heard of Strength Finders? Because I have. And I did the test maybe twice when I was in college, just learning what my strengths are and how I can use them to my benefit. And I know my family at that time was figuring out their own strengths, and that was just the cool thing at the time to figure out who you were. And different traits to play off of and play off of your strengths instead of trying to fix your weaknesses. Because if we play off our strengths, we get stronger and stronger in that area, but it's also easier for us to, at least for me, identify people who strengthen my weaknesses and can pick out those blind spots for me. And show me different ways or help me to work on those weaker sides of me as I am focused in building on the stronger sides of me. And this is all like I am a personality test junkie because I'm obsessed with learning about myself and learning about my strengths and understanding who I am. And I've gotten to the point that I should probably just stop taking those tests, because if you have someone who's a leader, who challenges the status quo, who is driven, goal-oriented, family likes saying take no prisoners, rebel, that's pretty much me. Stepping into a leadership position when I see people reluctantly doing it. And a lot of times I don't want to be in some leadership position. So I'm just like, really? Can we just do the thing and get it done? Because I don't like dragging feet. I don't even like it when I drag my own feet. And there has been stuff I've been dragging my own feet on. But this guest is a Clif Strength Coach. And she works with clients who take the Strength Finders test to understand more and build a life around their strengths so they feel like they're thriving and fulfilled and finding themselves. She has her own story about how she found herself and immigrated to America and the challenges she faced growing up, moving all over the world, landing in America, and then figuring out what her own passions are. Even with photography as her background, she was still struggling, like we all do, to find ourselves. And it's okay from time to time when things that used to light us up don't light us up anymore, and find something else that does light us up, because the one thing that is consistent in this life is change. We can't stop it, no matter how hard we try. And it's always going to be there. And so with that, we all get lost sometimes. And that's okay. It is always okay. And with that, let us begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Built Brave podcast. I'm excited for today's guest, Katia. And Katia, can you go ahead and take it away? Let people know who you are and what you're about.
Hi, everyone, and thank you, Lo, for having me today. I was super excited that I could be here with you record this podcast. So what am I, who am I, and what am I about? I am a portrait photographer and a Clifton Strengths coach based in New York City. I believe that these two professions that I chose for myself, they complement each other very well, because I believe that each one of us is beautiful inside and out. And I love bringing that out in people that I photograph. And with my coaching, I also believe that we all have our unique talents and our unique strengths. And I also love bringing that out of people and helping them become more confident, more brave.
Beautiful. So for people listening, what is a Clifton Strengths coach?
Okay. So Clifton Strengths is a personality assessment that was developed in 1980s by Don Clifton, who we now lovingly call father of Clifton Strengths and father of strengths-based psychology. Basically, he was curious to understand, you know, what makes people excel at what they do, or what makes people successful. So he and his team conducted interviews with 2 million people, studying, you know, what do they excel at. And basically it was sort of, back then they were thinking about, I think this is how also this idea of positive psychology came about, because before that, psychology was studying, you know, the negatives in humans, right? Like the trauma and basically everything that is quote unquote wrong with us, right? So he wanted to see what is right with us. And so based on that massive research that they did, they then designed this personality assessment that is helping you to identify your talents. And by talents, they don't only mean, you know, like if you're a singer, let's say, you have a beautiful voice, or if you are a poet and you can, you know, put rhymes together in a very beautiful way. You know, a talented person in Clifton Strengths can be someone who is, like, for example, one of my top talents is empathy. Before I took that test, assessment in 7 years ago, I had no clue that empathy is a talent. So we look at that in that sense where we look at, you know, our natural way of thinking, of acting, of how we perceive the world. And once you sort of know that, it helps you understand, you know, how you can develop those talents into your unique strengths.
Mm. So where can someone who wants to take the assessment go to take it? Can they just go online and take it, or do they have to go through a coach?
No, it's a great question. So you can go. So when Don Clifton developed that assessment, he had his own firm. And then a few years later, he acquired this organization called Gallup, that now everybody knows Gallup, right? It's an organization that helps, you know, with conducting polls and all of those different things. And so on their website, you can go and take the assessment. You might want to hire a coach, somebody like me, to help you understand how to apply those or how to interpret that. I mean, the report that comes back is very extensive. You know, it will give you an idea, and you know, you can it is a sort of the start of your journey into this, you know, strengths methodology. But the coach can help you with, you know, dig even deeper. You know, the coach will help you see how those talents, your top talents work together. We talk about theme dynamics, and I say theme because when you take the test and it will identify your top 10 themes, there are altogether 34. So it will identify your top 10 themes, and this is your sort of, we call them signature themes. And then it will list the rest of 24 in your unique sequence. And the odds are that there's another individual with the same sequence of talents or themes, is the odds are 1 in 33 million, which is, to me, is fascinating, because it means, you know, you're truly unique in that sense. And so, again, you know, you can take the test. It will be sufficient to sort of start this journey. There's also a series of books you can read. But if you want to sort of accelerate your growth on this journey, you can hire somebody like me, a growth and strengths coach, who will help you very sort of in a very accelerated way to understand those, you know, nuances of your specific talent and your specific strengths.
Mm. I love that because I'm all about people understanding themselves. I know a lot from my own perspective. I learn about a lot about myself to understand myself. And then the byproduct is then I have more empathy and it's easier for me to understand other people and be able to see those different things to see how similar we are instead of pointing out all of those differences. And I think that's just really amazing. But how do you get to this point, like in your story? Because you said you were originally a photographer, and we'll get into that because you started doing that when you were 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And then you decided to become this Clifton's strength coach. Yes, thank you. So what was that transition? We'll work backwards on the transitions.
Of course. So yes, I learned photography when I was 9. I'm originally from St. Petersburg, Russia. Back then when I was born, it was called Leningrad. It was still Soviet Union. So yes, I learned photography when I was 9. My brother taught me, actually. And I tried all kinds of different types of photography. And eventually I realized that I am interested in people photography because I guess, again, like what I just mentioned about myself, like one of my top talents is empathy. So I'm always looking for that human connection. If it's lacking, I feel like I'm sort of suffocating. So at some point I arrived at the conclusion that I need to be photographing people. So that how that came about. And then Clifton Strengths, I was 7 years ago, I personally was in a sort of dark spot where I lost confidence or acquired some sort of insecurities due to a number of things. So to basically put it clearly, I was depressed. And but I guess I was always curious about things, which is also like once I took the test, it showed that I'm a learner. I'm curious about different things. So I was obviously searching for something. And one of my now mentors in an online course that I took with him, he mentioned this assessment. And like you just also said, you know, you want to better yourself all the time so that you can understand yourself and then helps you understand the others. In the same way, I was also trying to understand, because like I said, I was depressed, I was a little bit lost, I wasn't sure, what even my value is. Like I couldn't figure out what my worth was. So I took this assessment and it was mind-blowing how accurately it described me. But then I couldn't figure out, like, you know, what makes me unique. Back then, 7 years ago, when you received the report, it listed your top five, only your top five. Now, like I said, it lists your top 10 and then the rest of the 24. But back then it was top five. And looking at them separately, again, like, it described me to a T. It was mind-blowing. But then, okay, so what makes me? And I basically, what I did, there's also a series of books written about this methodology. I read some of those books, or all of them, many of them, and sort of started paying attention to how I act in the present. I started looking back at how I was acting and behaving and reacting to things in the past. I started looking at what things brought me to my burnout and depression. And somehow, it took me a few years to figure this out, but somehow I realized that, again, with the empathy talent, which I didn't look at a talent back then, I realized that empathy was driving a lot of what I do in life. And I realized that throughout my life, I was having some sort of coaching conversations with people. I just didn't know that they were coaching conversations. And the way I was doing it many years ago is basically like forcing people to listen to me, right? It's like somebody comes to me with a problem. I have a solution, but they're not listening to me, or they're not doing what I am suggesting that they should do. And so I was quite forceful with that, and I was alienating people. So at some point I stopped doing that. I thought it's not working. I shouldn't be so much invested in people's life. And then so I sort of shut down my empathy completely, which was also not making me happy either, because again, it's like it's my natural talent. I have to do it. And so anyway, so all of that combined made me realize again, I have been having coaching conversations. I just needed to have a little bit of. I had to learn how to do it in a way that is not upsetting people. And because I became so passionate about this whole methodology of, you know, strengths-based psychology, positive psychology, I was actually talking to people a lot about this assessment. Whenever I'd have a conversation, it would come up somehow. Not that I would bring it up, but it would come up somehow. And it just naturally, it was natural for me to just go ahead and get certified. And so now I'm doing this professionally.
Isn't it interesting how life works that way? Different triggers, and you're just like, well, here's an opportunity I didn't think of. I could go off and create it and coach it in a time where you felt a lot of darkness and sadness. Can you give an example during that time when you're transitioning to figure out your strengths, what specifically you are going through?
You mean my dark places?
Yep, your dark phase before you, that got you on to this path.
So my flavor of depression had a lot to do with my family, actually, my intimate, you know, my mom, my dad, my brother. My parents had a drinking problem. My dad died because of that when I was 19. My mom passed away also like 7 years ago. And I think what made me so sad and upset and depressed is because I felt, I guess, responsible for my parents somehow. And I felt like, because, you know, this entire time, I left Russia when it was 2002. And my mom was still there. And so I could not help her. Or maybe I felt like what I was doing was not enough. Right, and so, and whatever she was going through made me feel shame and guilt and all those different things, and I just felt helpless, I guess. And then, you know, finding myself through that, through photography again, it was also around that time when I finally realized that again, people is what I need. I love it. Human connection. I want to create those beautiful, photos with everyday women. I think when you and I did a prep call, we talked about this, how I'm not necessarily interested in photographing or, you know, doing, you know, fashion magazine type shoots. I prefer to work with everyday women and sort of help them. So that idea of like, me helping somebody also helps me. And yes, and when I was looking for things to better myself or to understand how I can get out of that dark spot. And I, you know, stumbled across that that assessment that, you know, that helped me to, you know, to understand that this helplessness comes from the fact that I need to be helping people. I couldn't, unfortunately, help my mom all that much as I had wished to, but I feel like now, because of that, I am more, you know, this is sort of my life's mission, where it's like, I have that in me, you know, I have the strength to help other people, and so I this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's really challenging when you're not in the same area as your parents, let alone the same country. So what made you decide to come and immigrate to America?
Well, my journey actually, so my husband is from Los Angeles originally, but we met in Russia, in St. Petersburg, my hometown. He came there to study, so we got married, and then we moved to Prague. So when I left Russia for the first time, I went to Prague. We were there 5 years. I was also studying there. I mean, my degree from Russia is in linguistics, in translation. I'm a professional translator from English into Russian and interpreter. And so yeah, we moved to Prague. We were there for 5 years, and we moved to Vienna. We were there 3 years, and then 2009 to the San Francisco Bay Area when Michael, my husband, got accepted to UC Berkeley for his PhD program. So it's just how it happened. I mean, I wasn't really looking to leave Russia. It just happened. I met a man and I got married, and he happened to be from another country.
So how has that process been adjusting? Because you've moved all over the place and now you're in America. What's like, how have you seen yourself like, oh, this is where I get to grow, or this is not how I used to do it?
Well, I had a little bit of an adjustment period when I came to the United States. When I was coming over here, because we had been married for a while, so, you know, my sort of immigration status, it was so much easier for me to go through it because I had been married to my husband for a while. So I already had a green card, I was fluent in English, I had experience in, you know, corporate world, but I was not, back then I didn't know how to network in the sort of good way. I mean, meaning good way is how, you know, to build relationship with people. So it was difficult for me to even find a job back then. And it took some time to adjust because I couldn't understand, like, I, you know, I have all the skills, I'm smart, I speak English. It took me a while to get adjusted. But, you know, eventually, you know, figured this out. And then at some point also, I found this community of, we refer to ourselves as top performers, where, you know, we don't necessarily sit and, like, let's say you have a challenge, right? You're faced with a challenge. We look at the challenge in this way where it's like, okay, so this happened, now what? Like, how can we move forward, right? So what are we learning from here? And so through that community, I learned about, you know, this positive way or positive definition of networking. To me, networking means, you know, making friends, building relationships, deep relationships with people. And through that community, I also learned that, you know, like, sometimes people criticize this whole idea of, like, American dream is bad or whatever. I realized that American dream is not bad, and you can achieve whatever you want to do in life. You just need to, to work on it. You're responsible for what you're doing in life. And sky really is not the limit. If you are, if you know what you bring to the world, you know your value, you don't dwell on, you know, comparing yourself to others in this sort of negative way. Why does that person have that and I don't have this? And, you know, when you, again, when you know your worth, you know what value you bring to the world, when you know that you're responsible for what happens to you or, you know, what steps you have to take to become successful, and then you become successful.
Mm. So how did you figure out and get strong and solid in what your worth is?
Well, again, it's, I have to say, when, you know, thinking about photography and like finding myself in that sense where I love working with people and I love creating portraits with people, for people, that was sort of like this long way, like from nine years old to, I don't, like in my, you know, early 30s, it's like, oh, I finally figured this out. Great. I think with this Clifton Strengths, and I think this is also why I'm so vocal about this now, and so passionate about this now, is I believe because it's based on so much research, you know, it objectively tells you what your talents are, and it removes any doubt from your mind. Right. And so when I looked at my talents, and so it was empathy at number one, learner, input is very similar to learner, where it's somebody who, again, is curious, who like collects different types of information, or, you know, in my case, it also can be, you know, connections, people, right? I my communities are so diverse. I know so many people from different countries, different cities, different, you know, backgrounds, and then for input, we also talk about, like, there is no input without output. Whatever I know, whatever I have collected, so to say, I have to share. If I don't share, again, I feel like I'm suffocating. So empathy, learner, input, responsibility, and restorative. Restorative is somebody who loves fixing problems. In my case, again, because empathy is driving so much in what I do, restorative is fixing people's problems, right? So again, when I took the time to study this about myself, I realized that my unique value is in, you know, listening to people. And since then, people have told me so many times that I'm good at listening. I guess it's called active listening, right? So I don't only like listen, just to listen. I actually look for what the person is not saying. And empathy helps with that too, because especially when I'm in you know, either in a situation like this, we have the video on right now, or when I'm in person with somebody, my empathy also helps me to read the emotion, so I will be able to sort of see if you may be not saying something, right? So I will gently, you know, probe in into that. So again, my unique skill, my unique talent is this active listening that, you know, my empathy helps a lot with. And then with restorative, input, learning and input, you know, it helps me. I have so much different, you know, information in my head where I can come up with solutions right there and offer them. And it also ties back into this whole idea of, you know, working with people in photography, because, again, I prefer to work with everyday women and then, of course, also photographed men. And what I found is that we all have very similar challenges when it comes to being seen, and we have all we have some, you know, insecurities. And so what happens very often before and during the shoot is that I'm relying again on my empathy, my listening, my curiosity, you know, probing, to even have a coaching, some sort of a coaching conversation during the shoot. And so once I figure that out, I, you know, now I'm actually very intentional and strategic about this, right? So, you know, I know how to dial it up and down when I need to. But back to your question, you know, how I figured my worth and my value, I'm also, it's now continuously reflected back at me. So all of my clients, my friends, people, you know, who I work with or I'm friends with or go to a networking event, they, you know, they reflect this back at me, all of this qualities that I'm describing about myself. So it's like, okay, so I'm not just imagining this.
Hmm. You said that a bunch of your clients had all the same similar thread of wanting to be seen. Can you give some examples about that? Because I know that's a common thing, especially with women. They're wanting to be seen, but they don't know how to either like communicate what that looks like to them or even have anywhere to go other than being like, I just want to feel seen. And they're just like, well, no one's seeing me.
I was saying that they are sometimes afraid to be seen. They're insecure about being seen because when they're not used to being seen, or, you know, like when we talk about, you know, let's say an entrepreneur, solopreneur, coach, whoever, who decides to get out there, right? Say this. And so if they're running their business online, they want to show how, you know, what they are, how I'm talking about creating, you know, marketing collateral for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, lifestyle photos, things like that. And I've had clients who, before they went into business for themselves, they did not have a professional shoot like ever or since high school, you know, when you're graduating and, you know, you take those photos or somebody's taking those photos. And so it can be a very vulnerable experience. So they sort of, they want to be seen because, you know, they want people to know what they're about. Again, going back to that whole idea of, you know, what value you bring to the world. They want people to know what they're about, but at the same time, they want to sort of hide, right? And so it's a very interesting challenge for me to help them reframe that, to help them to hold this sort of loving space for them, to show them really with hard proof on the back of my camera that they are gorgeous. So this is where my brain went right just now. But you're asking me about, what are you asking me? Do you ask me about how they wanted to be seen or?
But what the common theme was, so I believe you answered it, is like they're afraid to be seen, but it's this contradictory thing because we're humans and humans are complex and contradictory, but they don't want to be seen. And I think a lot of it goes to the fact, like, I'm starting to read a book called Girl Logic, and I can't remember the comedian's name. She did Elder Millennial. And it's going back of, like, at least in women's brains, this complex thing that goes like, we want to be seen, but we don't want to be seen. And it's just about like, well, we're told to be confident, but not too confident, so other people feel insecure. And I think that's just the same dichotomy is going on. It's like, I want to be seen. I want to have these beautiful, gorgeous pictures taken of me, but then it's like, oh, wait, I don't want to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. And I've had an experience like this where I, you know, there's also this expression, you know, dim your light. I had an experience one time a while ago. I think I just turned 38, and I was at a networking event, which was like a very fun, you know, evening of people, you know, doing themselves, entrepreneurial people. And there was this young woman that was absolutely gorgeous. It's also me, I guess, as a photographer, I love studying people. So sometimes I just start staring at the person. And then I have to stop myself, but I'm like, I'm seeing this beautiful person. So anyway, so we started talking, and there was all of this friendliness right away. You know, we had so many different things in common, and then by the end of the conversation, at some point, she actually asked me how old I was, and I told her, which I never, you know, I'm never afraid to or shy to tell people how old I am. People tell me this all the time. I look much younger. And so what was interesting is that her reaction to that was very interesting. She was surprised, but surprised in a way, like shocked. You know, she didn't want me to be this old and look younger, I think. That's how I read it. And so in that moment, again, going back to my empathy, I see this instantaneously, right? Like, I see people's emotions, like facial micro expressions, which I also studied to help me with photography, to help people, to help explain to people what's happening in the face when we, you know, utilize certain muscles. So that was a very interesting. And then I found out about her. I mean, we became friends. We became friends on Facebook and all the different things. And I found out that she was a few years younger, but she was also super successful. You know, she was, she was happily married. She had, I think, a couple of kids by then. I don't have children, unfortunately. So she had a couple of kids by then. You know, she had her own business, which was doing successfully, from as far as I could tell, and successful even in a way where, you know, one of the prominent public figures was using her product in their offices. And so that to me was so interesting to observe about myself, how instantly when I saw, you know, this young, gorgeous woman to be so, to go so, I guess, upset in some way, right? But what it did to me is that I instantaneously sort of dimmed my own light, right? I like, oh, you know, I have to, I need to minimize myself right now so that she doesn't feel bad about this whole situation. So that was an interesting experience to observe for myself. And then later, actually that same year, I joined this community of empowered women, and we talk about how when something like this happens, you need to do the opposite. You in no way should be, you know, dimming your own light. On the contrary, you have to sort of use your light to make that other woman or whoever's in front of you feel comfortable around your own light and their own light, because we're all, again, going back to my philosophy, we're all unique, we're all gorgeous. You know, there's no reason to compare ourselves to anyone, really. You know, we have our own beauty.
Hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting with the whole like dimming the light concept, but yet still, you know, going back to your own core philosophy about everyone's unique, everyone's gorgeous, but yet in this situation, you felt yourself dimming your own light to make them feel comfortable. And I think it's also largely people aren't used to other people, especially women, who are confident in taking up space and being like, this is my light, this is who I am. I'm not going to shrink to make you feel better. It's like, it's not my responsibility to manage your own feelings. It's right. My responsibility to be myself. Because I know with myself personally, that's been one of the things that have been coming up for me is taking up space, not wanting to take up too much space, and then going in this whole like dichotomy in my head being like, well, F that, I'm going to take up space, especially if this is what I believe about women taking up space, being brave, doing their own thing. So yeah, it's just really interesting to see and watch and feel. And so for you, what is one of the things that you are working through right now? What, you know, story or insecurity are you juggling at the moment to overcome?
That's a good question. It's like, it's a really good question because I keep going back and forth about like, oh, I'm so confident. You know, I figured this all out. You know, I've done so much personal development in the past, I don't know how many years. I am all done. I'm perfect. but no. And then I would have a conversation with somebody and they would challenge me on something, and I would be like, oops, I think I need to look in that a little bit more. But let me think about this. Recently, one of the insecurities that I was struggling with, and actually still am, right? So, this Clifton Strengths Coaching I have been doing. So I got certified a year ago, and I've been doing it part-time. And so with this current situation, it's like I have all this extra time. I should take it to the full-time, you know, practice. And so what I started noticing about myself, that it's actually going back to this whole idea of being seen or being vulnerable about that. Now that we're all locked up in our households, obviously I need to rely on social media. I myself need to start being seen, you know, because that's, in my mind right now, that's the only way how people can get to know me, you know, what I'm all about. And that whole idea that I need to be, you know, posting more stuff on social media, writing articles. I have a lot of things to say, and also going back to that whole idea of taking up space or you know, minimizing yourself. You know, my friends who now know me very well, you know, they keep telling me like, yes, you have your voice. You know, you need to be sharing it with the world. You know, get your butt in gear. So, but that whole thing of, you know, me going back and forth. You know, what if whatever I write or whatever I put out there, you know, people will judge, or, you know, what if I will upset somebody with what I'm saying, or, you know, so things like that is something that I am working on right now. And I keep reframing this for myself in this way where you know, I love people. I want to help people. I know how to help people. I have helped people in the past. You know, this is my life mission. It's my responsibility to, you know, to use my voice and to take space. And if there's somebody who is judging me in that moment, sure, they probably are not ready for me yet, but when they maybe take the time to look at their own judgments, they will see what I'm saying.
I think it's also interesting about people, you know, what you just said about them judging you. Well, maybe they're not ready for me, and then that's okay. But it's interesting what it takes to get you to that mindset to also be like, I'm going to use my voice and say what I need to say to connect with the people you're meant to work with. But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, again, going back to that girl logic of you gotta be confident, but you can't be too confident to make someone else insecure. That's one of the examples she uses. But again, it's also one of the concepts she brought up in there is like, act like a lady. Well, what does that mean?
My mentor, whom I mentioned from this Empowered Women's Network, you know, she loves to talk about how, what's that expression? Like sugar and spice and everything nice or something like that. So is that being like, is that what it means? But like, what does it mean exactly? Like, you have to be nice all the time? Like, what do we learn from this? I don't know either
because I'm still just like, what does that even mean? I mean, I played basketball growing up in school and did a traveling team, so very competitive. I definitely built my own reputation as the parents like to call take no prisoners. And it was just interesting, like, seeing the difference in the guys' sports and the roughing and what they would get away with on the court versus what the girls would get away with or not get away with on the court. And I would get very angry at the disparaging, being like, wait, what? I got a foul for that and they've done it at least 10 times. No foul. But it's still going to be like, guys, just they have, it's like easier in the sense of quote unquote what it is to act like a man, but as it is to act like a lady, like, who knows? I don't even know.
Yeah.
And if it's to play small, I actually don't like that definition. So let's find a new definition.
Yeah. Yeah. This is good. No, because, I mean, it's who, when we're playing small, who do we serve? Like, what are we doing when we're playing small? I think when we're playing small is actually what creates frustration and. Because we're not fulfilled, right, when we're playing small. We're not using our voice. We're not taking up space. We're afraid to take space. Fear, right? Fear is a big one also. How do you overcome that? By figuring out how, like, again, what is your voice? What are you here to say to people? Or anyone, you know, who do you serve? What are you doing? No, I'm not for playing small.
It's just really interesting. And like, even, you know, going back to sharing your voice and all of that, once you realize not everyone doesn't know everything, or they're making it up along as they go or whatever, you got what I'm saying in that. And then you're kind of like, well, crap. Okay, if everyone's making this up, you know, why are certain quote unquote voices being heard versus others? And I think it's really just a confidence issue. A lot of people are just show up and they're super confident. People look to them for the answers. Well, maybe inside they don't actually know the answers. They just have no idea.
Yeah.
But yet you look to them to make that guiding light in that decision of what's the right next step.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, what is, because sometimes we're looking up to somebody and we think that they're confident, but are they really confident? Because sometimes it's also, we learn as we go along, because to say that I know everything is quite arrogant. You can't know everything. We learn from our mistakes, right? Or not mistakes or whatever. Like, again, like I said, like, I sometimes, when I talk to someone and they challenge me, and it's a good thing, right? They challenge me, I'm learning something in that process. I'm open to that. I like bringing on, you know, challenge me. But then, yes, like, we look up to somebody and that person looks confident, but maybe deep down it's a facade, right? It's like that also expression. I was talking to a friend recently about that phrase, fake it until you make it. I'm not quite sure I understand that. because fake what? Fake confidence? Like, how do you do that? If you don't, to me, confidence is, again, like, when you are, when you love yourself, when you, you know, you don't, you sort of, you know how, we all have that negative voice in our heads very often. One thing is to listen to it and sort of get upset or get depressed by it somehow. And another thing is recognize that it's there. It always is going to be there. And then sort of reframe it for yourself, right? Like, thank you, voice. I heard you. I know you're trying to take care of me, but you're not right right now. And so to me, confidence is, again, like knowing you are realizing, again, what your value, what your worth is. You know, challenging yourself and using your voice and taking up space, that's confidence. And I also believe that people who can be vulnerable, they're confident people. People who cannot be vulnerable, I don't think they're confident.
With that, we'll just mic drop it, everyone. I think that is true. The people who are vulnerable, because vulnerability is still shifting into viewed as a strength, but it still has the negative connotation that is, we are actually the strongest because they're willing to say, like, hey, I messed up. Hey, I don't know. Hey, I am going through it and I'm feeling like crap or something, just bringing awareness to the sides of life that have been typically hidden, mm-hmm. instead of keeping them hidden, which I think is a very beautiful and powerful thing, because that also opens up doors and conversations that you may not would have ever had if you didn't have that brief moment of courage and you were vulnerable with whatever is up for you in that moment.
Yeah, vulnerability, I love it also. But it also is important how you, it's important to learn sort of, especially when we are, you know, in that sort of public space, right? When we are as coaches, I guess, and photographers, and whoever, you know, whoever is doing this type of, running this type of business where we need to be out there. And it's, I didn't come up with this myself, but like a friend of mine she was talking about this, you know, vulnerability. There's a very fine line between being vulnerable and being sort of, not complaining, but like, you don't need to sort of do the, express all of the sad things that you're going through right now, right? Because then it turns into this unfortunate, it's like seeking attention, basically, to me, right? Vulnerability is something where you, again, you admit you may have been in the wrong, or you, you know, whatever experience you've shared with somebody, and you learn something from it, and you're sharing it in a way where somebody else can learn something from it. And you are brave in doing this, right? So there's always a very fine line how to use your vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. It's like how I coach people, that vulnerability isn't always blood, guts on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Because vulnerability is also going to a restaurant and saying not to put cheese and dairy in a dish because you're lactose intolerant. Because I go, I'm vulnerable all the time. They could forget and not tell me. And then I eat the dairy and then feel crappy for the next couple days. But it's just the different levels. And again, also you bring up a point. Is it attention seeking, or is it seeking to actually solve a problem or shift out of things?
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to feel empowered versus disempowered.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So shifting into the final questions, okay. Where can everyone find you?
Very easy. KatiaNicholas.com. It's my website, Nicholas CH. And why just my first and last name? You can find me on social, you know, Instagram, Facebook, or, you know, except Twitter. I don't use Twitter. I don't know why. I don't know how to use it.
I don't do Twitter either. It's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like the forgotten stepchild, not to post on that stereotype, but it's kind of, yeah. What's a book, podcast, or resource that has given you a lot of value that you would share with the audience?
Book, podcast, and resource?
It doesn't have to be all three. It can just be one of those.
Well,
that
because the reason I'm asking, because remember I was telling you about input? Mm-hmm. My talent, like I can give you a long list of things right now. So my all-time favorite book, since I read it a few years ago, is Give and Take. I'm all about giving. And I love the, you know, the argument that Adam Grant, the author, makes in the book, that givers are the most successful. They will always be the most successful people. Because he talks about how when you're a giver, and let's say you have enemies, quote unquote, right? When you fall, those people who, you know, who might not be your friends necessarily, who are, might be your quote unquote enemies, they will still look for you. If you're a taker on the other hand, and you had wronged people in the past, when you fall, they will not, you know, be trying to help you. So I love that a lot. That's one book. Podcast. For people who are in this online space doing all kinds of different wonderful things for our world, I would recommend a podcast for, you know, ethical marketing and sales that is run by my friend. And it has a very funny title. She runs it with her friend who's a very successful copywriter in natural business. The podcast is called Hillary and Margot Yell at Websites. So go check it out. It's really good. It's really good. I love it. I love it.
So then what would you say has been your bravest moment?
My bravest moment. Well, recently, this may have even been the moment when I, you know, reached out to you and said, hey, are you looking for guests? Because I would like to be a guest on your podcast. That was quite big for me in the sense what I was also saying a few minutes ago, how, you know, I feel a little insecure right now about getting out there, you know, writing more, using my voice and all those different things. And so for me to ask to be on someone else's, you know, podcast as a guest, that was big, because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know, like, if you would want me, if you would like me, you know, all of those different, like, again, going back to the inner voice, all of those negative self-talk, right, all of those things are floating in your mind all the time, and you're like, just calm down, it's gonna be fine. So that was one of the bravest moments recently that I
could think of. A lot of those moments are brave. Those are moments where you're talking yourself out down, and then you just reach out and see what happens. Because if you don't ask, then it's always a no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At least try, right?
Mm-hmm. So our final question, what is your definition of brave?
I think my definition of brave is not being afraid to occasionally walk the boat. And again, it can be through your actions, through your words, through your actions and through your words, you know. When I feel like when we are holding back whatever we have to say, going back to our earlier conversation, we're not serving anyone, and especially not ourselves, because when it gets bottled up, it only creates negative emotions for yourself. And when you are sitting in those negative emotions, it clutters so much of your brain power, you can't do anything. You can't be creative, you cannot be loving, you cannot be empathetic, you cannot be like a great human, I would say.
Well, Katia, thank you so much for coming on today's podcast. I really enjoyed our conversation. It went, weaved itself in, and I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me, Lo. And I'm happy you responded to my email. And I'm happy you brought me on. And I really, yes, I certainly did. Deep.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Built Brave. If you love this episode, heck, if you like this episode, please head on over, give it a rate, review, subscribe, like, shout it out on your social media with your major takeaways and what you loved about the episode. And as always, tag me in that at Lo Wentworth, because I love hearing what you guys got out of the episodes. And until next time, remember, you've always been brave.